From Exodus chapter 7 until Exodus chapter 12, we have recorded God's judgment upon Egypt. This judgment that fell upon the land of Egypt consisted of God smiting the land with 10 plagues. So far in these studies, we have seen only the children of Israel suffer affliction, and that at the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But now the time has come for Pharaoh and Egypt to suffer. But their suffering would come as a direct result of the judgment of God. And men and women, it's very important that you note that. The judgment that fell upon Pharaoh and Egypt was the judgment of God. The Bible clearly teaches that God is a God of justice and a God of righteousness. The God of heaven will judge sin and will judge the sinner. If the sinner refuses God's mercy and God's grace and rejects God's word. And here we have one example set before us today in the book of Exodus, where God's judgment falls upon a king and a nation because of their sin. If there's one truth that the Bible teaches from beginning to end, it is this truth, that sin will never go unpunished, neither in this life nor in the life to come. God's justice will be satisfied. The Bible teaches that very, very clearly. And here in this chapter, we have the judgment of God falling upon Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. As we come to consider this subject of God's judgment upon Egypt, there are several things, very simply, that I want you to notice. And I pray again that the Lord will take his word and write them upon our hearts. Especially if you're in the meeting and you're not saved. I want you to listen very, very carefully to what God's word says here. And I want you to remember that we're dealing with events that really happen. Sometimes when we lift the Bible and read especially the Old Testament, we can think in our minds, well, that didn't really happen. I know that many do. Many do not believe the Bible. Maybe in your heart, deep down, you believe the Word of God. And yet, when you read events like this, perhaps the question arises, did they really happen? Did they really take place? Well, let me say that the events that we're reading about today really took place. And we're going to see that as we continue this message. But I pray that God will take his word and write them upon your heart and upon your soul if you're not saved in this meeting. Now, first of all, I want you to notice, and I hope that you have your Bible open before you. I want you to notice the warning concerning the judgment. Before the judgment of God fell upon Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, the king of Egypt was warned that if he refused to let the children of Israel go, that God would judge him and his nation. Not only was Pharaoh warned once, not only was he warned twice, but he was warned many different times that God was going to judge the nation of Egypt. Indeed, before each judgment fell, Pharaoh was warned. Take a look there at chapter 8 and verse 1, and you'll read these words. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Take a look at chapter 8 and verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses. and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. Look at chapter 9 and verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, and upon the asses, and upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. So here, time and time again, the Lord warned Pharaoh that the judgment was going to fall. Look at chapter 9 and look at verse 13, and you'll see this again. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Look at chapter 10. Take a look there at verse 3 of chapter 10. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let thy people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. So time and time again, the Lord warned Pharaoh and the Egyptians that judgment would fall upon them. But time and time again, the king of Egypt refused to obey the warnings of God. Until the 10th judgment fell, when God smote all the firstborn in each Egyptian family. Just turn over to Exodus chapter 12 and take a look there with me at verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne until the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And this was not the end of God's judgment upon Pharaoh and Egypt, because Pharaoh and his great army were to perish in the midst of the Red Sea. After Pharaoh was forced to let the people go, he hardened his heart again and pursued after the children of Israel, which resulted in their final judgment. And we're going to say more about that just in a moment. But the simple truth that I want you to see here is this, that Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt were warned that the judgment was coming. Men and women, judgment is coming for every sinner who rejects God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And the Bible continually warns men and women to flee from the wrath which is to come. You see, the Bible warns men to turn from their sin and be saved. And the Bible warns men that if they refuse to turn from their sin, that God's judgment will fall upon them. Now, that is a very simple truth. But it is a truth, a simple truth that is set forward in God's Word time and time and time again. Let me turn you to a familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. Here we have the words of John the Baptist to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees. And of course the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders at the time of Christ, they refused to accept that Christ was the Messiah. They would not believe in Christ as the Redeemer, and they rejected the message. And look what John the Baptist says to them in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you, underline those words, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Let me turn you to another portion, Ephesians chapter 5. It's important that you see these references yourself. And especially if you're not a Christian, I want you to particularly to look at God's Word and see what God's Word says on this matter. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh, here's the warning, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And in Acts chapter 17 verse 31 we read, because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. You see, the truth is that there's a judgment day coming. I know in this 21st century, many do not believe that there's a judgment day coming. But there is, because the Bible, the Word of God, clearly teaches us that there is a judgment day coming. And you will be judged for your sin if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Now I say that lovingly, but I have to declare it faithfully because God's precious Word declares it. Just as judgment fell in the days of Pharaoh, so judgment will fall again upon this world. And so judgment will fall again upon those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. Now, of course, you can be saved today. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has died and he has shed his precious blood. And because of the sacrifice that he made on Golgotha's brow, thank God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's, of course, the wonderful message of the gospel. Christ died for sinners, that he rose again. And because he lives, you and I can live if we put our faith and trust in him. And if we accept him as our Redeemer. I wonder, my friend, have you ever confessed your sin and repented of your sin and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, I pray if you haven't, then come today. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But if you refuse his love, and if you refuse his mercy, and if you refuse his grace, the Bible says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Here we have Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt being warned time and time again. And yet, time and time again, Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt refused to heed the warning. My friend, why do you continually refuse to heed the warning? When it's set forth so clearly in the Word of God, oh, would you not heed the Word of God? The Bible tells us that God someday will judge this world. That is a fact. That is a fact. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take that simple truth, that simple fact, that solemn truth, that solemn fact, and apply it to your heart and to your soul, even today. Now, turn back again to Exodus chapter 7. Not only do I want you to notice the warnings concerning the judgment, but I want you to notice the reason for the judgment. It's very important that you see this. Why did this judgment fall upon Pharaoh and the land of Egypt? Well, very simply, the judgment fell upon Pharaoh because Pharaoh refused to obey the word of God. He refused to obey the command of God. As you read through Exodus 7 to 12, and I'm sure many of you have read these verses many times, but perhaps if you're not saved, you haven't read these verses. Well, I would encourage you to get a Bible down when you go home and read these chapters carefully, and you will see here clearly the reason why God's judgment fell upon Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. You know, there were times when the king of Egypt seemed willing to let the children of Israel go. I wonder, have you ever noticed that? When you read through these verses. But you know, These were only half-hearted measures by Pharaoh. Let me show you what I mean. Take a look there at Exodus chapter 8 and the verse 8. And look what it says. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." So it seems as if Pharaoh is repenting here. It seems as if Pharaoh is beginning to see the light here. But he's not. All he wants is the judgment to pass. All he wants is for Moses to entreat the Lord so that the Lord would take away the frogs. Take a look at chapter 9 and you'll see this again. Verse 27. We read in that portion of Scripture these words, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto him, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer." Again, it seems as if Pharaoh is beginning to hear, that he's beginning to heed. But he's not. He only wants the judgment to pass. I want you to note that, because that's very, very important. Look at chapter 10. Look with me there at verse 16. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." Look at verse 24. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Again, it seems as if Pharaoh is beginning to see the light. But he's not. He only wants the judgment to pass. Although Pharaoh made promises, he broke those promises when the plague was removed. And if you take the time to read chapter 8 verse 15 and verse 32 and chapter 9 verse 35, you will see that. Because as soon as God removed the plague, removed the judgment, then Pharaoh hardened his heart against the word of God. You see, the bottom line was this. Pharaoh was not willing to obey the word of God. And the reason why Pharaoh was not willing to obey the word of God was because he wanted to hold on to his sin. He wanted to hold on to his lifestyle. He wanted to hold on to his gods. And of course, Pharaoh served the false gods of Egypt. My friend, if you're not saved in this meeting today, if you die in that spiritual state, you will receive the judgment of God. We have already made that point. But let me make this point. The reason, and the only reason why you will receive the judgment of God, is because you have rejected God's word in relation to the salvation of your precious soul. You have rejected God's Son, and you have rejected God's way of redemption. Why have you done that? Well, perhaps you should answer that question. But let me say this, that the bottom line is because you want to hold on to sin. You want to hold on to your sin. You see, God's word commands us to repent and to believe the gospel. To repent. When the Lord Jesus Christ began his public ministry, his message was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Indeed, the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel chapter 13 and verse 3 and 5, he said this, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And in Mark's Gospel, and the chapter 1, and in the verse 15, we read these tremendous words, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." My friend, you want to be saved today, repent and believe the gospel. If you want to begin your journey to heaven this afternoon, repent and believe the gospel. What is repentance? Repentance is doing an about turn, turning away from your sin, acknowledging that you're a sinner, but not only acknowledging that you're a sinner, confessing your sin to God and turning away from it and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus died for your sins and that he rose again in order to justify you. And if you believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can leave God's house today on your way to heaven and on your way home. Oh, my friend, I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart today. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture. I know I'm turning to many references this afternoon, but it's important that you see God's truth yourself. And I want you to turn to this reference. I know that it will be familiar to many of you, but if you're not saved in the meeting, it may not be familiar to you. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And of course, when we think about Pharaoh and about the judgment that fell upon Egypt, we're thinking about an event which happened hundreds, yes, thousands of years ago. But here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Paul comes to write about future events. And he comes here to write about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, we're right up to date here. We're speaking about an event that hasn't taken place yet. And look what it says concerning those who reject Christ as their Savior. Look what it says in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's the second coming of Christ. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My, there's the reason, again, set forth in black and white, why sinners will receive the judgment of God. They will receive the judgment of God. God's wrath will fall upon them because they believe not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe not. My thing, could it be any clearer? Could it be any clearer? I don't know what influences there are in your life. Why you're not a Christian. Why you're not saved. And I know that there are many in this congregation today who are not born again of the Spirit of God. I don't know what the influences are in your life. Maybe someone's telling you, don't listen to everything that the preacher says. Don't listen to everything that's preached from that pulpit. My friend, all we're doing is quoting the Word of God. That's all we're doing. That's all we ever do. Because that's the duty of the preacher, to open up the Word of God and just simply declare what the Bible says. And God's Word says that when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth the second time, as he surely will, it doesn't say if, it says when the Lord shall be revealed, he will judge this world for its sin, and he will judge every individual sinner in this world. And the reason why that judgment will fall upon this world and upon individuals in this world is because they obeyed not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the simple question is this: have you obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed it? Have you repented and believed the gospel? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer? Turn back to Exodus chapter 7 again. I want you to notice something else here. I don't want you to miss this. It's so important that you see this. Not only the warnings concerning the judgment. God has warned you time and time and time again. Not only the reason for the judgment. It failed because Pharaoh refused to obey the word of God. But I want you to notice the reality of the judgment. You know, people just will not believe that God will judge them for their sin, no matter how often they hear about the judgment of God and the wrath of God. There are many, even among church-going people, and they just will not accept that God will judge them for their sin, for whatever reason. There are those who will not accept that God will pour out his wrath upon them because of their iniquity. They will not and do not believe in the reality of God's judgment. Somehow or another, they have confused what God's word says with what man says. But men and women, God's judgment is real. It was real in the days of Pharaoh, and it will be real when God judges this world again. God's judged Egypt with 10 plagues. Now, we haven't got the time to read about all these plagues, but let me just list them for you. And they were real. The plague of blood, chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. The plague of frogs, chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. The plague of lice, chapter 8, verses 16 to 19. The plague of flies, chapter 8, verses 20 to 32. The plague that affected the cattle, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. The plague of boils, Exodus 9, verse 8 to 12. The plague of hail, Exodus 9, verse 13 to 35. The plague of locusts, chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. The plague of darkness, chapter 10, verses 21 to 29. The smiting of the firstborn, chapter 12. All these judgments were real. And they all came from God, and the people felt the effect of them and suffered greatly when they came. And they knew that the judgment was from God. Now, I want you to look at Exodus chapter 8 again just for a moment. And look with me at verse 17. And we read these words. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Now underline these words. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, underline these words, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. In other words, Pharaoh and the people recognized that God was judging them and that the judgment was real. They were there. And here is their testimony. This is the finger of God. Look at chapter 12. And take a look at verse 30. Again, this text of Scripture will bring out the reality of the judgment. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. The reality of the judgment. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Men and women, when God's judgment falls upon this world again, it will be real. Don't listen to the modernistic preacher who tells you that God is not a God of judgment. Don't listen to the false prophet who tells you that God will not judge sin again. When judgment falls upon you for your sin, and because of your refusal to come to Christ and be saved, it will be real. It will come from God, and you will know that it has come from God. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Again, we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul writes to the Christians at Rome, he reminds them about the judgment that is going to fall upon this world in a future date. Look what he says in verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, Romans 2 verse 3, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man, according to his deeds. Look at verse 11. For there's no respect of persons with God. Look at verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. When the judgment of God falls upon you for your sin, upon you because of your refusal to come to Christ and accept him as your Savior, it will be real. And the judgment will come from God. It will not come from the minister. It will not come from the church. It will come from God. We're all familiar with the judgment of Korah and his company. Turn over to Numbers chapter 16, and with this we're finished. But in Numbers chapter 16, Korah, Dathan and Abiram refused God's way and they resisted God's word. And because of this, the judgment of God fell upon them. It is an interesting passage of Scripture. And I'll tell you why it's an interesting passage of Scripture. Because Korah and his company, when the judgment of God fell upon them, went down alive into hell. Now just think about that. They went down alive into hell. If you die without Christ, you'll end up in hell. The soul that sinneth it shall die. The judgment of God will fall upon you. But your body will still be upon this earth, buried in some graveyard. But these men, body, soul and spirit, went alive down into hell. But the point I want to make is this, that when the judgment of God fell, it came from the Lord. This was the judgment of God. It wasn't the judgment of Moses or Aaron. Look at verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, Numbers chapter 16, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive, underline it, into the pit. And the earth clothed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord. Underline it. Underline it. The fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Oh, the judgment was real. And Korah and his company are still burning in hell because of their refusal to come and accept God's way of redemption. And study the passage carefully and you will see that the reason why God's judgment fell upon them was because they refused God's way of salvation. My friend, we're dealing here with serious matters. We're dealing here with divine truth. Don't let anyone tell you any different. There is a God in heaven, and he will judge sin if the sinner refuses God's salvation. But listen, let me finish by saying this. There's no need for you and I to be lost in God's judgment. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has died. The Savior has shed his precious blood, and he has provided eternal salvation for you and for me. Oh, you see, at the cross we can see the mercy of God in Christ. The reason And the only reason why the Lord Jesus went to die on the cross was in order to provide eternal salvation for you and for me. On the cross, Christ bore my hell in his own body upon the tree. He died the just for the unjust. And thank God the judgment that I deserve in hell forever, Christ took that upon himself when he made an atonement for me. Oh, thank God. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. You see, we're going to notice in our next study how the children of Israel were saved from the judgment. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb was killed and the blood was taken. And the blood was applied upon the doorposts and the lintels of the houses. And because that blood was applied, the children of Israel escaped the judgment of God. My friend, that's how you escape the judgment of God. You get under the blood. That's why we make so much about the cross and about the blood of the Lamb in this church. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Lord Jesus shed his precious blood in order to save us from hell and from judgment to come. What a message. Oh, my friend, would you come today? Would you trust him now? Life is hastening on. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what this day may bring forth. But I know this, that if my life is taken today, it'll be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the grace of God, because of my Savior, who finished the work of my redemption, completed the work upon the cross, cried it is finished. And thank God he can do the same for you if you come. Would you come today? Come and trust him. Let us all pray.